Well, if you take your Bible this morning and turn to Revelation chapter 9 as we continue our study through this book, I don't know. Every time I go through the book of Revelation, it just seems like what God's Word says is those that are that go through and listen to this Word are blessed. And God just continues to bless us every time we'll take Him at His Word. And I'm just so excited not only to go through this book, but to just be reminded that this is God's Word and it is coming to pass. It is true all the way through. And the more we see, the more we understand that these things will be happening sooner than later. And it's an encouragement for us that know Jesus Christ, because it means He's coming to get us pretty soon. But it's also an exhortation to all those who don't know Jesus Christ that the time is also coming when judgment will come upon this earth. And it's part of what God has already planned. And God always follows through on His plans. And so just a reminder of that. So anyway, we're going to read verses 1 through 12, chapter 9, Revelation. If you will, stand in honor of God's Word as we read it together. The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth, and the star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. And when he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and the sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. And out of the smoke, locusts came down upon the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. And they were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given power to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. During those days, men will seek death, but they will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. The locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. On their heads they wore something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled human faces. And their hair was like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. And they had tails and stings like scorpions. And in their tails they had the power to torment people for 5 months. And they had a king over them, the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek, Apollyon. And the first woe is past, and two other woes are yet to come. Father, I come to You today, Lord. And I just thank You again that we have Your Word. We don't have to wonder what's going to happen. We don't have to, you know, like the rest of the world, have no clue. But Father, we have Your Word. And Your Word's truth. And Your Word speaks to us. And Your Word helps us acknowledge the fact that everything that You say will come to pass. It always has. It always will. I thank You, Lord, for Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to start today by asking this simple question. Why does the Lord give us all these graphic descriptions of what the world is going to face during the tribulation? Well, I think there's three answers that really come out, stand out to me. These three things are really things that will help us all. The first thing is that I think they're mentioned so that the people in the church will know what we've been saved from and that God has delivered His people from the judgment that's coming. Folks, that's an encouragement to me. I don't look forward to what other people who don't know Jesus Christ are going to have to go through. But I do look forward to the fact that one of these days, Jesus is going to split the sky open. And He's going to call us home for those who know Jesus Christ. And we're going to be caught up with Him in the air in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I mean, folks, listen. It's going to happen quicker than you can even imagine. And I look forward to that day. And that's an encouragement to me. but it's also motivation, and we'll look at that in just a moment. But I think these things are mentioned so we will know what we've been saved from and what God has delivered His people from this judgment that's coming. Secondly, He extends this glimpse of the future as a warning to those who have not yet trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. He wants them to know what they will face if they continue on in their sin and in their rejection of Him. And you might say, well, how do they know that? Well, I can just tell you this. There's two ways they can know that. First of all, the Bible is available to anyone who wants to read it. It is. I mean, it's on the internet. If you have the internet, you can read it. You probably read it on your smartphone. I use it my phone multiple times just to look up verses. The Bible is readily available if you just want to read it. Most people don't want to read it. You know why? Because if they hear the truth, then they feel like they're going to have to do something with it. Either ignore it or acknowledge it. Right? So just don't bore me with details. I don't want to know about that stuff. I don't want to know what's coming. Listen, folks, I don't know about you, but if I didn't know what was coming and I found out I could find out what was coming, I'd like to know. And so there are many people that hear and read God's Word. They may hear it being preached. They may hear it over the radio. They may hear it in a lot of different ways. They may pick up a Bible and read it and not exactly understand everything about it. But God is laying out these things so that they will know that they don't have to continue on in their sin and their rejection of Him. They can turn to Him. I think the third thing is this, so that we who do know Jesus will be motivated to share the gospel with the lost. Now, folks, I think that's the greatest part of all of this. Because why would we go through what's going to be happening on this earth when we're already taken out? What is the purpose of that? The purpose is so that we know what people are going to have to go through. And it should, because of the love of God that He's given us and because of the love that He's also put inside of us to share with other people, it should motivate us to tell people that this time is coming. They don't have to go through it. I can't imagine what it'd be like for people that we know, the people that we say that we love, people that maybe even are a part of our family, people that we work with every single day, people that we've known all of our life, we've grown up knowing them. What would it say to them if we knew the truth and we never told them about it? What would it say to them? Probably would say, I don't care that much about you. It should motivate us to share the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So first of all, this morning, as we take a look at these scriptures, beginning in chapter 9, verse 1, there is a powerful angel that's talked about here. The fifth angel sounds his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth, and the star was given a key to the shaft of the abyss. He's a prominent angel. He's called a star. Now, by the way, just think about it for a moment. Isn't it interesting that we call people that are very influential in Hollywood, we call them what? Stars? Yeah. Or somebody that excels on the football field, we call them a star. I mean, we tend to put people up on a pedestal, don't we? Folks, there's nobody that deserves to be on a pedestal other than Jesus. He's the only one that should be high and lifted up. Every person who claims to be a star, or people look at and they call them a star, listen to what, they're just people. And they all have faults just like you and I have. But this particular angel is called a star. He could possibly be Michael, because he is an archangel that's in charge of the armies of God. He is the warrior angel. I don't know if it's Michael or not. It doesn't say here exactly which one it is. But it is an angel who comes, and he's given a job to do. And his job is to come with a key and open the abyss. I think it's probably Michael from my perspective, because he's also mentioned in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, here again, having the key to the abyss, same person, holding it in his hand in a great chain. And he seizes the dragon,